Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
We're glad that you can join us for Christmas this year, but I'm sure Christmas is looking a lot different than it's been for many, many years for a lot of us. I know for some of you watching, you might be at home quarantined, or you may be just celebrating Christmas just with your immediate family, or maybe you're older at a later stage in life and your kids are gone and you're by yourselves. I know all of us are not so active in the traditions that we once practiced over the past several years with parties and friends and family. This year has definitely taken a toll on a lot of us. I think we, and I know this without a doubt, that we are bombarded, and we have been bombarded with a lot of bad news. It seems like there's this continuous stream of negativity and toxicity that has been infecting us and impacting our minds and our lives. We may not realize it, but all the bad news in the world today affects our emotions, affects our subconscious, affects our bodies, and studies are beginning to emerge that people are beginning to struggle with post-traumatic stress and anxieties and fears and uncertainty. You can feel it almost in the air. And I believe a lot of it has to do with the stream of bad news that we have access to. And I do realize that we're all facing a universal worldwide health problem. But we're getting our news from computers and websites and social media, constantly scrolling, constantly giving us updates. Even in the service today, I got an update, a news update, but it wasn't on my computer. It was on my watch. And then we have this device that sits in our pockets, and it's constantly gives us access to the problems of the world, to the problems many people are facing. It's nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. How many remember the time when you used to read one of these? Right? We used to read a newspaper. I remember years and years ago, my boys were little, I would get a newspaper delivered at my front door, and I would read the paper with a coffee on the front porch. And you would read the headlines and skip over parts you really didn't want to read and just look through, get the headlines of the day. But what was interesting is after reading the paper, you would put it down and go on with your life and leave the news behind. But now it comes with you. And this is what you don't understand. This negative news, bad news, and toxicity is impacting our souls. We were not created to absorb so much bad news. We were not created to carry the burdens of the world. We were not created with this capacity to sympathize with millions of strangers that we don't know. And without realizing it affects our worldview, it affects our subconscious, and affects our perception of reality. And as a steady stream of bad news and negative news and toxicity, and I'm not saying don't be informed. Got to be informed. But as the 24 hours a day, 7 days a week news networks now have emerged, cable news. I remember back in the day you would read the paper and then you would get home and then there was the 5 o'clock news. I remember the 5 o'clock news, channel 24/7, 5/7, right? Scarborough, right? I remember Scarborough. And we used to watch them every night, and every once in a while we couldn't make it through the broadcast because it was like the world was ending, so it was just terrible news, so we would shut it off. But at the end of the broadcast, they sometimes would give a story about a firefighter climbing a tree to save a kitten, and oh, isn't that nice? To try to make you feel better after watching all that negativity, but at least you got to shut it off, and that was the end of the news today. Not anymore. I want you to think about this for a moment. Do you think that perhaps that many of you have lost your joy, your peace, your happiness, because you are struggling with anxiety and depression and living in fear because you've allowed the bad news of the world to impact your soul and your well-being? Could it be that you have not given proper boundaries and filters and limits in your life? You have not guarded your heart. The Bible says, guard your heart, for it's the wellsprings of life. You have not guarded your heart. And it has affected your perception of reality. And it's caused you to think that the world is going to end. And we may not make it for tomorrow. And the end is near. The churches are dying. People are living in difficulties and in fear and anxieties, and we think that's how the world is. And I just want you to do something today. Can we? Time Magazine said that this year was the worst year ever. Think about it. Time Magazine, I guess we want to call it a reputable magazine, whatever you want to call it. Let's say it's been around for a while, right? States, it's the worst year ever. Gets into our hearts, and we start believing what we're reading. We start believing what we're seeing. We start believing what we're hearing. And then we start living in fear, thinking it is the worst year ever. Well, if you've been listening to my messages the past few weeks, on the contrary, I don't believe it's been the worst year ever. I think it's been the best year ever. Because 2020 caused us to slow down. 2020 caused us to reevaluate our priorities. 2020 has allowed issues in our life to come to the surface. 2020 has been a year of transformation. And when you follow Jesus, there is no such thing as a bad year. When you follow Jesus, there's only growing years. And I just want to tell you today, 2020 in the natural was a tough year. 2020 was a difficult year. But just because it was a hard year and a difficult year doesn't mean it was a bad year. It was a growing year. It was a maturing year. It's a year that God is using to do a greater work in us. I don't know about you, but I feel stronger. I feel stronger. I feel like if I got through 2020, I could get through anything. How many believe that? Like if you can get through this year, you can get through anything. Come on now. We're the generation that are going to make it through a pandemic. Come on now. We're that God never prepared me to lead a church through a pandemic. He didn't prepare me, but he guided me. He didn't prepare me, but he sustained me. He didn't prepare me, but he upheld me. He didn't prepare me, but he was with me. He didn't prepare me, but he was for me. He didn't prepare me, but he was in me. He didn't prepare me, but he walked with me, and sometimes he carried me. Let me ask you this. As we close out 2020, you do me a favor. I know the world is full of bad news. I know it is, and I'm not saying ignore reality. But can we just for a moment put down the bad news? Can we do that for a moment? Because in order for us to discover good news, we must first put down the bad news. Because without realizing it, you might think that there's no good news in this bad news world. But I'm here to tell you today that if you put down the bad news and pick up some good news, I'm here to tell you today that this book is far different than this book. This book is going to give you hope. This book is going to give you encouragement. This book is going to give you healing. This book is going to give you salvation. This book is what got me through every day of every week of this entire year. It's this book. It's this news. And I'm here to declare to you today that Christmas is all about good news in a bad news world. Let me ask you this. Could it be that your joy is directly linked to what you're connected to? Could it be? Because listen to this next point. Our souls were not designed to operate. Let me say it to you. Our souls were designed to operate from joy, not negativity, not toxicity, or bad news. Our souls were designed to operate from joy. Our souls were not to operate from this. How many are with me? How many know what I'm talking about? Okay? I feel like throwing this, but then I'll cry. Because this is too expensive. And then she's my baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's there for me. She's there for me. It's this, we have issues. We have issues. But this is this. If my joy is connected to this, how many know that I'm going to struggle to be joyful? But if my joy is connected to God's word, how many know that the joy of the Lord is going to be my strength? And I believe that the enemy has been using the circumstances of today to rob you of your joy. And when he takes away your joy, guess what? He takes away your peace. But I'm here to tell you today, you're here today. And I'm here to tell you today that there's great news. And not only is there great news, it's good news that's going to cause great joy in your life. Okay? Scriptures tell us in Luke chapter 2, Christmas story. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared before them. Just imagine. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. Fear. Darkness. Uncertainty. They were living in a world of uncertainty and darkness and fear. And here are common shepherds just doing their thing at night. And the Lord shows up, and the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." I first want to tell you today, don't be afraid. Don't allow fear to control your life. Choose faith over fear all the time. There's good fear, and there's bad fear. But don't allow the fear that is connected to this to impact your heart. So the angel speaks to the shepherds and says, "Don't be afraid." And notice what he says. I bring you what? Good news that will do what? Cause great joy for who? I love that, all people. That means all races, all nationalities, all cultures, all walks of life, all issues, all problems, all circumstances. In other words, there's great news in the mountain, there's great news in the valley, there's great news in the difficulties, and there's great news in the good times, there's great news in the bad times, there's great news regardless of what you're going through today, there's good news for you. So hang in there with me just a few moments. This is what he says. Today, this is the good news. A Savior is born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign. You will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And I love verse 13. It says, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest. Heavens and on earth, peace to those whom his favor rests. First of all, I speak peace over your life today. I speak favor over your life today. As the angels declared peace and joy and favor, I speak that over your life today. And right now, for everyone going through the struggle, right now, everyone in the panic, everyone in the pain, everyone in the problem, I declare to you good news that is going to cause great joy. You say, Pastor, what's the good news? I'm dying to hear the good news. What's the good news? Well, the good news that will cause great joy is going to be very simple. Ready? First of all, good news. How many want to hear good news? Good news. You ready? Simple. God is with us. How many know that's good news? You might feel far from God. You might feel disconnected from God. You might have felt isolated from God. You might feel distant. You might feel alone. You might feel sad. And right now, you might be watching isolated, lonely, away from family, away from people, and there's a hole missing in your heart. And I'm here to tell you that God is not quarantined. God is not isolated. God doesn't have to wait 14 days to come out and visit you. God has always been with you. God is with you. The psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He also says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. I will rather dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is with you. He's with me. I love Isaiah 7:14. Put that up on the screen. Isaiah 7:14 says, the virgin will conceive and she will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. His name is Emmanuel. His name is God is with me. His name is God with me. Regardless of the circumstances, God is with you. You see, religion is our attempt to go to God. That's what religion tells us. We have to do these things to get to God. But Christmas is all about God coming to us. God came to us. And I'm here to tell you today that God is coming to you. You might have been drugged to come here. I don't mean dragged. I mean they might have drugged you here to come to church. You might be sitting with family right now watching this online. And your family's like, you have to hear, we have to have a Christmas service together. You have to watch this. And you're sitting in the corner like, dear God, who's this pastor? Can we just end this quick? Because I'm ready to eat the ham, the turkey, the pork. If you have dinner ready, hold on. Hold on. Y'all got to wait for the sermon to finish. But I'm here to tell you that God is attempting to get your attention. God is coming to you. God doesn't stop pursuing you. God doesn't stop coming after you. God follows you. And God wants relationship with you. You see, before my name was Pastor Joe, people like to call me Pastor Joe. I like Joe, but I guess pastor is respectful, I guess, whatever. Before I was Pastor Joe, I was called Partier Joe. I used to be Partier Joe. What up, Joe? What up? We going clubbing? Yeah, heck yeah. I love the clubs. I love living in New York City. And I had these big plans to leave my parents' house and go to New York City and then go to college. I went to John Jay College of Criminal Justice. I was going to be a state trooper. I graduated SUNY Orange here and with police science degree. And I wanted to just pull people over. That's all I wanted to do, really, because I got pulled over a lot, okay? And I'm like, I ain't going to get pulled over anymore. I'm going to pull people over. I just wanted to be a state trooper. I did. So I forgot while I was telling that story. Oh, yeah, I went to John Jay College of Criminal Justice. And I said, finally, mom and dad, because my parents were church people, and they drugged me to church, and they threatened my life, and I didn't go to church. They were nice. Mom and dad, I love you. You did a great job. But I was finally going to be on my own. And I moved to New York City, And I went to club. I love clubs. I don't know. This generation, they don't know clubs. You know, they don't know about those things. They don't know about nightclubs and dance clubs. And y'all missing out. Like, they're too busy home like this. This is this generation. Our generation's like, raise the roof, raise the roof, raise the roof. And this is them. Or this. They don't understand fun. Anyway, I was raising the roof in Manhattan at a place called Studio 54. That's right, I was there. I was there on that floor, raising the roof. Until Jesus showed up. I had no idea Jesus went to nightclubs too. Did y'all know Jesus goes to nightclubs? I had no idea. I thought I left them outside, you know. I'm going to leave you in the church. You stay here, Jesus, while I go live my life. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. I'm going to do my own thing. And on top of that, I had a praying mom. What? Praying dad. Are you kidding me? They knew I was far from God, but they knew God was not far from me. And there I was, true story. I'm there raising the roof, and I hear these words, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, this is true. I'm not lying. I said, "What are you doing here?" That's what I said. He said, "You don't belong here." I have a plan for your life. I have a purpose for your life. I want you to walk in my plan. I want you to walk in my purpose. I love you, Joe. I'm with you. You can't outrun me. You can run from me, but you can't outrun me. I'm here to tell you today, you may be able to, you may think you can outrun, what did I say? You may think that you can run from God, here it is, but you can never outrun God, right? I thought I could run from God, but I couldn't outrun God. And immediately I called a cab, and that was the last time I ever walked into a place like that. I fully surrender my life to Christ. Why? Because Jesus came to me. And I believe Jesus is coming to some of you here today, and I believe Jesus is coming to some of you online today, because that's what the Christmas story is about. A virgin will conceive. She'll give birth to a son, and his name will be called Jesus. Not only is God with us, but number two, God wants to save us. God will save us. God wants to save us. God wants to rescue us. God will save us. And that's the beauty of the Christmas story, because on that day, on that night, at that place, I needed salvation. I needed to be rescued. I love the story. There's a story in the Bible. Maybe you don't know much about the Bible, and that's okay. There's a story about a shepherd who's watching 100 sheep, and one of them kind of just wanders off. And the shepherd leaves the 99 to go after the one, to save the one, to rescue the one. I was in that. I was the one that Jesus went after. And you're the one that Jesus is wanting to go after. And when he reaches you, he wants to save you. And you say, "Pastor, save me from what? Like, what do I need salvation from?" You need salvation from sin. You need to be saved from yourself. You need to be rescued from the pit of sin. And listen, eternal separation from God. Because there will be a day that we will breathe our last breath here on earth. And this is the truth. Listen to me. We are all one breath away from eternity. Woo! And when you breathe your last breath on this earth, are you ready to meet Jesus? God wants to save you from sin. He wants to save you from this world. He wants to save you from being eternally separated from him through eternity. You say, Pastor, eternity, I've got plenty of life to live. Well, you don't know about that. But you ask, what's eternity? The best way I can describe eternity is that if I had the ability to take a tape measure from New York to California, this life would be the first 1/8 of an inch. The rest would be eternity. And in this life, God wants to save you. You say, how does he save you? Scripture say, 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and purify you from all of your transgressions, from all of your unrighteousness. How do you do that? Just say, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me. Come into my heart. Come into my life. And immediately the joy of the Lord would flood your soul and fill your life. God is with you. God will save you. And lastly, as we wrap this up here today, God is madly in love with you. God is head over heels in love with you. God loves you so much. You are the apple of his eye. You're the reason why we celebrate this season. He came not because he needed to leave heaven. He came because he loved you so much. And I asked this in the previous service, and I want to ask you this question. What do you think God thinks when he thinks about you? What do you think God thinks? What do you think crosses God's mind when he thinks about you? You know what I've learned? There's so many people. They think God's mad at them. They think God's angry at them. They think God's disgusted with them. They think God thinks they're a failure. They think God thinks they're losers. And some don't even think they're worthy. They're good enough to even be thought by God. I heard this many years ago. I'm going to share it with you today. Do you know what God thinks when he thinks about you? He thinks love. He thinks you're his child. He thinks you're the apple of his eye. He thinks you're a masterpiece. Isn't that beautiful? You're a masterpiece. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. This is what I heard years ago, that when Jesus was on the cross, you want to know what God was thinking about? What he thinks he's thinking about when he thinks of you? Just look at Jesus on the cross, because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, guess what? He had you on his mind. That's what he was thinking about. I love you. You're my daughter. You're my son. I have a plan for your life. You're fearfully, wonderfully made. Right? You're my child. I love you. And there's nothing that can stop God from loving us. Isn't that insane? Isn't that insane that when God thinks about you, he does not think failure. He does not think disgusted. He does not think angry. No. He thinks nothing but love. Why? Because love is not something that God does. Love is who God is. It is who he is. It's his nature. And today, this Christmas, you can be full of joy because God loves you. And if you invite him into your heart, his love will fill you. I know it stinks right now. I know it's tough. But God loves you. And there's nothing you can do to stop him from loving you. Therefore, I can be joyful. That's the team to come on up. If they're around, yeah, there. Come on up, guys. Therefore, I can be joyful. Because I have love in my life. You see, Jesus was not born on Christmas. Love was born on Christmas. And love came into the world on Christmas. And that's a reason, and that's good news, right? That causes great joy. So as we wrap this up today, let me ask you a question. Have you invited love into your heart? Have you invited Jesus into your life? So many people think, well, once I get my act together, then I'll do it. How many have, you don't have to raise your hand. How many thought of that? Like, first let me get some ducks in order. Let me clear out my closet and before everything. No, Jesus says, no, come to me the way you are, just as you are. I'll take care of the rest. If you bow your head with me, everyone watching online, just listen to